be the third talk about fast diffusion kind of equations, and so I don't have too much to add to the introduction, but anyway, we'll try to do that. And then I will do an overview of the results that were known before about the decay rates toward cell similarity for this kind of equations. And finally, I will present you some new results in the direction of finding the decay rates in just the gap of the exponents below 1 over the dimension. So basically, for m less than d minus 1 over d. Okay. I will change again the notation with respect to the previous two talks. So I hope this won't make any problem. So I will just give a brief change of notations. So my u that in Jochen's talk was v will be again u. And the u of Jochen's will be, for me, rho. Rho for Jochen that was Barenblatt for me will be capital U, basically. And n, the dimension will become d. Something else? Yeah. Alpha will become lambda. Okay. That this is 2 minus 1 minus m times d. Okay. So, well, what is the fast diffusion equation? You have seen it before in the previous two talks, which is just the evolution of this evolution equation. So we look for solutions of this equation, the Cauchy problem. So we assume that our initial data, U0, will be positive, and in L1. And since I'm going to talk always in the mass-preserving solution range, so for m larger than d minus 2 over d, so we know that the mass is preserved, so I will fix it to be 1, okay? So capital N will be the mass, and it will be 1. So as we have learned from the two previous talks, this family of equations have a special cases for m less than 1, what is called the fast diffusion range. For m equals 1, you have the heat equation. For m larger than 1, you have what is called porous medium type equation. Okay, so as also has been said before, you have a special family of cell-similar solutions, which are called the Barenblatt profiles, which are of the following form. C, I will write the exact cell similarity, C times TC is a constant. Here you have A times T to the 2 over lambda plus X squared to the 1 divided by 1 minus M. This, of course, for M less than 1. I will focus on the case, fast diffusion case. So for me, and from now on, M will be always between D minus 2 over D and 1. And here C is just a known constant to M lambda divided by 1 minus M. And A is just fixed in such a way, depends on the mass, in such a way that in this case has mass 1. Okay, so as it has been said previously, it was known for a long time since Freeman came in and then improved by Bathkes that the limit as t goes to infinity of the norm of u of t minus capital of u of t in L infinity times t divided by to the d divided by lambda, this is 0. So there is a uniform convergence towards the Barenblatt profile with this exponent. And the rate in L1 wasn't known. What it was proved is just only that the difference in L1 tends to 0. These are the results of Freeman, Kamin, and Bathkes. What originally Freeman, Kamin did was to prove that this is true, but in uniformly expanding sets. They didn't get exactly L infinity. This was the improvement of Bathkes later on. Okay, so this is what is known about the asymptotic behavior of the solution for the fast diffusion equation. This holds for the whole range and between d minus 2 over d and 1. other properties that are known for the solutions of the Cauchy problem. So properties of the solutions. So it is known that U becomes immediately C infinity, in fact. For any time positive, it has the, let's say, this smoothing property as the heat equation does. And in fact, it becomes positive everywhere. Strictly positive for any t positive. And also you have an L infinity bound for any t positive of the solution. So, well, it was mentioned before that this lower bound here is needed in such a way that you have the Barenblatt profiles to be interval. Below that, it has no sense in principle to talk about, in principle, this kind of limiting behavior since mass is even not preserved. Okay. So, in principle, also, Vázquez proved in 96 that no better rates of convergence can be expected if the initial data is only L1 and positive. So you must add something else, some additional assumption, in order to get better rate of decays. Well, the additional assumption that has been shown before is just that the second moment of the initial data exists, and then you have these rates of decays that were discussed in Robert's talk. So, as it has been said also before, several authors proved in the last few years, Otto, myself, Toscani, Dolbo, and Del Pino, proved that by different techniques, that in fact, if you add the initial data, the assumption that the second moment is bounded, then you have that the difference in L1 decays like t to the minus 1 over lambda. These, under two assumptions, namely m larger or equal than d minus 1 over d, and m larger than d divided by d plus 2. Well, I will come back later on to these two, let's say, restrictions over the range of the exponent m. The first one has been discussed by Robert. It's due to the displacement convexity of the entropy functional. And the second one is just due to the fact that we want the Barenblatt to have second-order moment bounded, too, in order to be able to compare to it. So that's why you assume that m is larger than d divided by d plus 2, in fact. Okay, so in fact, there was a the question I want to address here is how to improve this decay rate, if you can improve this decay rate, so the nonlinear type stability result for the gap between these two values of the exponent and the value d minus 2 over d, for which, because here you know that the asymptotic behavior is given by the Barenblatt for any value larger than d minus 2 over d. So there is a gap between this exponent and these two here. So there was a first improvement in this direction. The first improvement was done by Lederman and Markovich, and what they proved basically was how to avoid the restriction m larger d divided by d plus 2. It was basically a remark that then technically became a little bit more difficult to prove, in the sense that in order to avoid this, what they restricted the class of initial data more. They assumed something else, which is a condition which is called bounded relative entropy. I will come back to this later on. So assuming bounded relative entropy between the initial data and the Barenblatt, they were able also to get these decay rates. So this adds some some special cases in one dimension, and in two dimension only add the case m equals 1/2, basically. So then there was a gap, let's say for d larger than 2, between the value d minus 2 over d and the value d minus 1 over d, for which no rates of convergence in principle better than no rate, basically, in L1, were known, even assuming more conditions over the initial data. So I'm going to focus exactly in this problem. And in fact, I'm going to apply what is called, let's say, the entropy method, which is rather related to, very related to this point of view of looking at this as a gradient flow in a remaining manifold, so the autoformalism. So the question I try to address is if I can adapt the entropy method for dealing with these decay rates in this range. Here, I will need to, in some way, to compensate the possible lack of convexity of the internal energy function, of the entropy function, in terms of what I know about the convexity of the potential that appears when I rescale the equation. So this is what I'm going to do exactly now. So basically, in order to address this problem of convergence towards self-similarity for the original porous medium equation, instead of attacking this problem directly at this in this setting, I will do a change of variables. So the change of variables that you do is exactly the change of variables that was described by Jock and Densler. So I'm not going to write it again. But you arrive to the following equation that I will call rho now, that depends on the new time s and the new position variable y. So you have d rho over ds equals divergence of y rho plus grad rho to the m. And you have some initial data here for s equals 0 given by rho 0, for which you assume that it's positive, it's in L1, and some more assumptions that I will put later on. Of course, rho 0 is related to u 0, and you can do this change of variables in such a way that fits some other properties that I will come back to. I will come back later on. Okay, so in this way, this change of variable has a very nice feature, is that a certain Barenblatt solution for the original porous medium equation, in fact, a time-delayed Barenblatt solution, is translated into a stationary state for this equation. So we translate the question of rates of decay towards self-similar solution to the question of rates of decay towards an equilibrium state, which in principle should be easier, or at least can be attacked directly by kind of Lyapunov functional kind of methods. Okay. So what about the translation of decay rates? So just keep in mind that a decay of the order e to the minus s in this time variable will correspond to a decay of t over one, minus 1 over lambda for the original equation. Okay, so as we have learned from the previous talk, there has been some linearized analysis of this equation around the equilibrium state. The equilibrium state, I will call it rho infinity, is the, is something constant plus x squared, some other constant, I guess, to the 1 over 1 minus m, minus 1 over 1 minus m. And so there have been two results, basically, about the linearization of this equation around rho infinity. So this is a previous talk of Jochen. But I want to point out some things about the spectrum in that case. So as was mentioned by Jochen at the end of his talk, we, myself and co-authors, Lederman, Markovic, and Toscani, we proved that there was a spectral gap, at least, that tells you that you would expect a decay rate or non-linear stability result that tells you that the difference of ut minus capital of ut is at least of the order t to the minus 1/2. This will be the conjecture based on the spectral gap analysis that we did in that paper. But now we know more from the spectrum, the whole spectrum that have been obtained by Robert McCann and Densler. And in fact, what you have, as was pointed out at the end of Jochen's talk by Robert, two explicit eigenvalues with two eigenvalues with explicit eigenfunctions, which are namely the ones corresponding to the translation invariance of the equation and the dilation, which are these lambda 0, 1 and lambda 1, 0. So in fact, you have this eigenvalue, let's say 1, which corresponds to translations that has a explicit eigenfunction associated, which is related to the derivative of the Barenblatt with respect to x, and that will give you a guess that if this is the smallest eigenvalue, this will give you a decay of the order e to the minus s, which gives you in the original time variable decay of the order t to the minus 1 over lambda. You have the other eigenvalue, which is in fact lambda. This number 2 minus 1 minus m times t, which corresponds to dilations, which in fact has an explicit eigenfunction which is related to the derivative in time of the Barenblatt, which will give you a conjecture about the nonlinear stability of decay e to the minus lambda s, which corresponds to t to the minus 1 for the original porous medium equation. And as you see, both eigenvalues are in fact the smallest eigenvalues in the whole range between d minus 2 over d, if you consider that this straight line continues over here. So always the whole, all the eigenvalues are above minus 1 over here, and then, above lambda over here, and then above 1 in the other range. And you have the crossing exactly, they are equal, lambda is equal to 1, exactly for m equals d minus 1 over d. So, based on this, you may conjecture or expect two results about the nonlinear stability of the solution for the fast diffusion equation. Namely, the first, that for general initial data under some additional assumptions, you would expect that the decay between u of t minus capital U of t will be in the range m between d minus 2 over d and d minus 1 over d, you will expect a decay of the order t to the minus 1, because lambda is the smallest eigenvalue is a smaller eigenvalue in that range, and above and below the eigenvalues for certain lower range of m over here, in which you have only continuous spectrum. Okay. The other result, so this would be conjectures, okay? The other result you could expect is that, of course, for general initial data, if you are for m larger or equal than d minus 1 over d, from there you expect a decay of t to the minus 1 over lambda. But this case was already known. This is what Robert talked this morning. This is exactly the result that was known. For m larger than d minus 1 over d, you have a decay rate of exactly t to the minus 1 over lambda was optimal. And the second conjecture you may do here is the following. If I fix some geometric information about the solutions in such a way that I avoid this eigenvalue, I could get a better rate of decay, namely the corresponding to lambda 0, 1. So this would be to say that plus these assumptions, you assume, for instance, that in order to avoid translations, you assume that the center of mass is just 0. So you would expect that if the initial data is such a way that the center of mass is 0 and this condition is preserved through the evolution, you would expect to have a decay rate corresponding to the dilations, which is t to the minus 1 for the original porous medium equation. Okay, this would be the conjectures based on the linearized analysis. Well, these are the conjectures. What are the results I'm going to present you? So what I'm able to prove are the two following results related to these two points. First, I'm able to prove that for general initial data plus some additional assumptions, first result is for point one, I'm not going to repeat the assumptions, I'm able to prove that the difference decays at least like t to the minus 1/2, but for in the whole range of fast diffusion. So for m larger than d minus 2 over d, m less than or equal than, in fact, 1. And in fact, t to the minus 1/2 is precisely the sharpest rate for the heat equation. So in some sense...
It's always the L1 norm, right?
Yeah, sure. Sorry. I'm talking always about the L1 norm. I should have written L1 everywhere. Sorry. So what I proved here is that the difference towards the body of blood decays at least like for the heat equation, that you would expect such a result for the fast diffusion, at least for the whole fast diffusion range. So this is what I'm able to prove. So at least I covered the gap in the sense I had some rate of decay, but I don't get, let's say, the expected optimal decay rate for m between d minus 2 over d and d minus 1 over d. And the second result we are able to prove, by the way, I forgot to say that this is a work in collaboration with Vázquez. So the second result I'm able to prove is that if the initial data is radially symmetric, which you want is a particular case of fixing the center of mass, then I get the optimal decay rate. It decays like t to the minus 1, the difference. So the difference between UOD and this in L1 is like t to the minus 1 in the whole range. Again. So basically, I will present you in detail the proof of the first part. And in fact, I will also present, if you want, the proof of what it was known before in the case m larger than d minus 1 over d, in such a way that in this way you see how they can be obtained. And I will just make some remarks, if I have time at the end, about the second part. So, what are the main ingredients of the proof? So, some ideas. Well, the first ingredient, which will be, it turns out to be very important later on, is that we have more information about the solutions of these this rescaled porous medium equation. Since for m less than d minus 1 over d, the entropy functional is no longer displacement convex, I need to balance this possible failure of the displacement convexity of the internal energy in terms of the term that comes here due to the term y rho that will give you some another functional to play with. So in order to get this compensation, I can expect this not for any... I cannot expect some general convexity results and general inequality that will give me some decay about the solutions, but I can expect something for the long-time behavior of the solution, which has much better. Even if the initial data is not completely supported, it becomes positive everywhere and see infinity. So if I can prove something about the evolution of this function only on the evolution of the equation and not for general densities, I will be fine. So that's precisely what I'm going to do. I'm going to use some properties that are known for the solutions. Namely, what I'm going to use is what is called the Aronson-Benilan estimate for either porous medium equation or fast diffusion equation. This was proved by Aronson and Benilan in 79 in a convendu. And what they proved is that there is a bound of the Laplacian of rho of, for the original equation, due to the m minus 1 of the following form. So you have that m divided by m minus 1, Laplace in x of due to the m minus 1 is larger or equal than minus d over lambda t. And in fact, this inequality, and this holds for the solutions, okay, this holds for the solutions, for solutions of the equation du dt equals Laplace of u to the n. And in fact, this inequality is an equality precisely for the Barenblatt profile. If you translate this inequality to an inequality for rho instead of u, what you get is a similar bound. What you get is m divided by m minus 1, Laplace of rho to the m minus 1 is bounded below by, I will cancel this one anyway, sorry. This is larger or equal than minus d divided by 1 minus e to the minus lambda s. That's the estimate, the Aronson-Benilan estimate in those variables. Okay. So this is the first ingredient of the proof. It's a very particular information about the solutions of the PDE. Well, the second ingredient is to use a Lyapunov functional for the evolution of this PDE, which is nothing else than the entropy functional. So you define the entropy functional for rho, which is 1/2 the integral of y squared rho plus the integral of a certain function of rho, I'm going to call phi, where capital phi is nothing else than rho to the n divided by m minus 1 minus m divided by m minus 1 rho. I add some term which is in fact is constant, just for convenience. And in fact, what you can see are the following facts. First, that the evolution of E of rho through the solutions of the equation is given by this formula. It's just minus the integral of rho modulus of psi squared dy, where psi is given by y plus m divided by m minus 1, gradient of rho to the m minus 1. So that is entropy decreases through the evolution. And if you want to measure how far is rho t from rho infinity, the Barenblatt profile, the equilibrium solution of the equation, so you would like to define something like a relative entropy to rho infinity. How do you do that? If this is finite, which this in fact is equivalent to say that m is larger than d divided by d plus 2, then what you do is just you take the relative entropy to be the difference of the value of the entropy between the value at rho t, let's say, and the value at rho infinity. And but for m less than d divided by d plus 2 and larger than d minus 2 over d, you should do something different. What should you do? What you do is just to rewrite this in another way, in such a way that it has sense even for m less than d divided by d plus 2. This was just the idea of this first improvement of Lederman-Markovitch. What you do is just, okay, you rewrite it, and you say that the relative entropy, in fact, can be seen that this is exactly equal to the integral of phi of rho minus phi of rho infinity minus phi prime of rho infinity times rho minus rho infinity. And it turns out that this functional is convex, as you have a look at it. So it has sense, in any case, for any value of m. Okay. Yeah, the integral has a sign. It's positive. Exactly. Okay. So what you are going to assume then for the initial data, this is where the additional assumptions of the initial data comes, is that your initial data should be in such a way that the relative entropy between your initial data, rho 0 and rho infinity, is finite. So this is the additional assumption. What does it mean, this assumption, in the several cases in the, for different m's? I will come back to this point later on. Okay? But by now, let's assume this over rho 0. Okay. So this is the second ingredient. So in fact, here, since we are just adding a constant, what you can really see is that the derivative of not only E of rho t, but the E rho rho infinity, the relative entropy between rho of t and rho infinity, is given by that integral. In fact, I'm going to call this with some name. I'm going to call it D of rho of t. D of rho, by definition, will be this. And I call it in this way because I call it the entropy dissipation. Okay? This will play the role of the Fisher information for the heat equation. This is playing the role of the Boltzmann entropy, relative entropy for the heat equation. Okay. So, the next step, three, is to, I will talk a little bit about the case m larger than d minus 1 divided by d for you to see the difference. In this case, what you do, in fact, is to relate the entropy dissipation with the relative entropy itself. You prove some kind of generalization of the Log-Sobolev inequality. In fact, in the m equals 1 case, directly from here, you get the decay you want. Why? Because Log-Sobolev inequality, with this notation, just means that the relative entropy between rho and rho infinity is less or equal than 1 half d of rho. And if you plug this inequality into here, you see clearly a decay of the relative entropy. Sorry about the T, and it should be an S all over here, of course. Sorry about that. And so what you get from there is just that D over DS, E of rho, rho infinity, is less or equal than minus 2, the same thing. And then you get the decay E to the minus 2S for the relative entropy, the standard relative entropy, the log entropy, and just by Pinsker, Chisar, Kullback inequality, you get the decay T to the minus 1 half precisely for heat equation. So what in fact you do for n larger than d minus 1 over d is precisely the same. You prove an inequality of this kind, and then you get the decay you want. In fact, what you prove, as I said, you prove exactly this inequality, but for this entropy, I present it. And then this gives you the decay T to the minus 1 over lambda for the original variable by means of another generalization of certain Chisar-Kullback inequality, in fact. So the objective for m larger than d minus 1 over d was to prove this kind of generalized Log-Sobolev inequalities that, in fact, can be proved in very different ways. We know by now at least two or three proofs, one by Cordero, Rauskin, Gambon, Houdre, another one by myself and Toscani and Markovic and Unterreiter and Jungel. But in any case, one of the proofs rely in, okay, if you want to relate this to the dissipation of entropy, the idea is to study the evolution of the dissipation of entropy. Why? Because this is nothing else than minus the second derivative of E of rho S for infinity. So it's in somewhat related to the convexity properties of the functional. Okay? So in fact, one of the known proofs of the logarithmic Sobolev inequality is exactly done in this way. This is how Bakri and Emery proved the logarithmic Sobolev inequality for the heat, I mean, using the heat equation. So this is what I'm going to do then here. I'm going to study this derivative of the dissipation of entropy, the entropy dissipation. So for that, you work a little bit. If you don't know the wisdom of the differential geometry, you work more. If you know the wisdom of the differential geometry, then you work a little bit less. But anyway, if you do it in this way, you have to, at the end, work and find the Hessian of the operator E and obtain then a formula for this evolution. And the formula you get is the following. So I'm going to call this dissipation of entropy dissipation, dd of rho. Okay? And this is equal to, well, let's write here the formula. Let's see if I have, I will start right here. So 2 integral rho psi square dy. All the integrals are over Rd, of course. Psi square Laplace of rho to the m plus 2 integral of rho to the m divergence of psi squared minus divergence of psi divergence of psi dy. That's the formula you get. Of course, here I'm doing everything, all this computation by now in a formal way. I will discuss this later on. So, what you do in the range m larger than d minus 1 over d? So, in the range, in the known range, so for m larger than d minus 1 over d, what you do is, first, you use this formula that relates some of the terms over there. Okay. This formula. And over here you use that psi is in fact a gradient. Then you have here is just the Hessian of the corresponding, well, psi is over there and it's in fact the gradient of y squared over 2 plus m divided by m minus 1 rho to the m minus 1. So since it's a gradient, this is symmetric, so you have the trace of the square of the symmetric function. You can bound it, and you bound it in terms of the square of the trace, which is precisely this part over here. So you have that this is larger or equal than you have that this is larger or equal than 1 over d minus 1 divergence of psi square minus 1 half Laplace of modulus of psi squared. And if you substitute all in there, you can see that what you get is just that the dissipation of entropy dissipation is bound from below by just twice d of rho, the dissipation of entropy itself. Why? Because you have here this first integral is exactly twice d of rho, and in fact the sum of all these three terms over there is positive, larger or equal than zero, because of this formula that they have over here. Okay. So that's the way in which you get this relation. And once you have that, then you come back to the evolution for the dissipation of entropy, for which you find very easily that d rho of s is of the order e to the minus 2s. And once you have that, you go back to the evolution of the relative entropy up there, and you write it in this way, d over ds of E of rho s, rho infinity, is in fact, okay, how this goes. This is larger or equal than 1/2 d over ds d of rho. By using this inequality, and the inequality you get from there. And then you integrate between s and plus infinity, and since this goes to 0 at plus infinity, and this also you must prove that goes to 0 at plus infinity, finally you get this generalization of the Log-Sobolev inequality up there. And then you are done. So this is the one proof of this generalized Log-Sobolev inequality, and then one proof of this decay for m larger than d minus 1 over d. So what I'm going to do for m below that, that is the m of my lecture, in fact. So what you do in this range? So what you are going to do is to use, we haven't used at all, this first integral, because all the sum of all the three terms is just positive. So we're going to use the first integral in order to compensate the possible, well, the possibility of having a negative contribution from the other three terms. That's the main idea. Okay? So, how you do that? So there is where this Aronson-Benilan estimate comes into the game, because what you do, well, what you do is to use this identity that I have up there, okay, but you use it for substituting, in fact, divergence of psi squared, and not the divergence of psi. You use it for divergence of psi squared in this formula. So this is the first thing you do. And then again, over the trace part, the trace of the side over dy squared, you use the same estimate, that is larger or equal than 1 over d divergence of psi squared. And over that, you do a Young's inequality for a given del number positive. And what you get is the following bound from below for dd of rho. So you get that this is larger or equal than 2 integral of rho psi squared plus 1 minus m integral of modulus of psi squared Laplace rho to the m plus 2m over d integral of rho to the m divergence of psi squared minus 1 minus m delta of the integral rho to the m divergence of psi squared plus 1 over delta the integral of gradient of rho to the m squared divided by rho to the m plus rho to the m psi squared. Do that. And then you choose the delta in such a way that it cancels the divergence psi squared terms. So the delta, in this case, is whatever it is, 2n divided by d times 1 minus m. So choosing this delta, this cancels with this term. Then you put everything together. And in fact, you can put everything together in such a way that you factor out this term, rho psi squared, which is the one that gives you the dissipation of entropy. So finally, what you get is that this is equal to an integral of rho psi squared, and between brackets, everything else. And what you get in there is 2 plus 1 minus m Laplacian of rho to the m divided by rho minus 1 minus m squared d divided by 2m gradient of rho to the m squared divided by rho to the m plus 1. Okay, and here is where the little miracle happens, is that by using this estimate over the Laplacian of rho to the m minus 1, you can bound from below everything you have in brackets there. You just expand this Laplacian. There is a term that goes with this, and this, in fact, appears in the Laplacian, in the expression of the Laplacian of rho to the n. And then by using Aronson Beneland, in fact, this is exactly larger or equal than lambda minus d 1 minus m e to the minus lambda s divided by 1 minus e to the minus lambda s. Well, it's rather easy. It's a computation. Just make confidence on me that this is right. But this is. And so you see that when s goes to infinity, precisely gives you some bound. Well, this is just the brackets, okay? The brackets are bounded below by this. So then what you have from there is, in fact, so what you have there is just at the end that dd of rho is larger or equal than lambda minus that function, I will call it k of s, which is a decreasing function, times d of rho. But you have this only on the solutions, okay, over the solutions for s large. You are not using anything coming from the convexity in principle of the underlying functional. That's the difference. Okay, so once you have this, you do a similar tricks, what I explained before for the other range, and then you make confidence again on me from here by making different tricks with the ODEs that we have. At the end, we arrive to get that the relative entropy, in fact, decays like E to the minus lambda s. This is what you get at the end. So, from there, by again a generalization of Pinsker-Chisar-Kullback inequality, what you get is that rho minus rho infinity in L1 is of the order of t to the minus 1, e to the minus lambda divided by 2s. And this precisely translates into u of t minus capital U of t in L1 like t to the minus 1 half, which is precisely the theorem. Okay, so this is the proof of the first part here. So we are able to prove this uniform decay rate for the whole fast diffusion range. Of course, here, in order to do a justification of everything I have in here, you have to work, well, you have to be very careful with the tails, especially because we are doing iteration by parts, so you have to know exactly the precise behavior of all the tails in everything you are doing in here, and not only about the solution, but details also the first and the second derivatives. So this, let's say, is the hardest part of the work, and we had to do very detailed technical lemmas about the decay of the tails at plus infinity for the different ranges, for m larger than d divided by d plus 2, and for m below d divided by d plus 2, because there is a change, as you saw when I defined the relative entropy for that value. Okay. I will do just two remarks. I have time. So the first remark is just about this additional assumption over the initial data, the boundary relative initial entropy. So remember that in order to obtain this, I have assumed that, let's say, this is finite. So what does it mean this, or which are sufficient conditions to have that? So the sufficient condition that you get are the following. If the second moment of u0 is in L1, this is enough if m is larger than d divided by d plus 2, which coincides exactly with the known result. If m is less than d divided by d plus 2, is something more restricted about the decay of the tails at plus infinity, how the tail behavior of the initial data is compared to the tail behavior of the bottom blot. So basically, they have to get the same kind of decay of the tails. I will not write precisely, well, I can write one sufficient condition, which is just the following one. I think is the nicest one, which tells you that it's enough if you have, let's say, a bounded relative second order moment to some bottom blot. So you have that the integral of x squared of u0 of x, modulus of u0 of x, minus certain bottom blot that can be delayed in time u x t0 for certain time delay. If this is finite, so you have relative second moment finite with respect to a certain Barenblatt, then that is enough.
You're free to pick t0.
Yeah, you have the freedom to pick t0. So it's just that the initial data has to behave like certain time delayed Barenblatt in such a way that their relative second moment is bounded. Okay, so then the class of initial data is yes, is you restrict the class, but it's not so restricted, okay, at least with this sufficient condition. And the other comment I wanted to do is about the second result. Well, the second result, I have not the time to explain it, but it's based in completely different techniques. It's based on comparison arguments, because here you have a comparison principle for the fast diffusion equation. This was the classical way in which Freeman, Camille, Vázquez obtained all of these results. So basically, by using some particular maximum principle for radial solutions, you are able to prove this result by proving first that what happens really is that you have a decay in an infinity, in fact. You have that for radial solution, UTR, minus capital of UTR, is bounded by the Barenblatt itself, by constant divided by T. And from there you have the L1 decay directly. Okay, that's all.
Aronson
Benilon estimate? Well, so what they do is they prove it in by a maximum principle argument. This is what they do originally. They write the porous medium equation, fast diffusion equation, in pressure variables. What they call this pressure is m divided by m minus 1 times u to the m minus 1. So they write an evolution equation for this pressure. And they do a maximum principle, some argument of maximum principle over the pressure function. And they get this bound from below. But I haven't understood it in terms of, let's say, the convexity or... No, I don't know what it means. Yeah, that's a very good question, in fact.